God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things.
It is time
they do.
For a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting. Have yourselves a seat here in the saucer pod, right next to me at the command console. Please don't touch any of the dials. Don't say something like, "What's this button here for?" We don't want one of those Christine McAuliffe's moments. Just kidding. The saucer pod is all mentally controlled and not necessarily by me. Sure, I'm mental, but... Well, I guess you get the picture even if I don't. Anyway, the saucer pod is moving in and out of the clouds. Those would be clouds of obscuration, the clouds of unknowing, and the clouds of knowing, which are likely the most unfortunate clouds of being seen, of being unseen and unseen. Holy cow, what was that? Look out for the stray 747s, folks. So here we are moving through the airwaves, curving and waffling sound vibrations are cushioning and elevating our progress right through the ethers as we await, that would be you and I, the greater transformations that we are heir to, which does not mean we will inherit them. That's a matter of awareness or the lack of it. Some of us will inherit the wind, some of us will inherit the unseen, and some of us will inherit another closet full of outfits for the coming cycle of mayhem and greater darkness, given that the small golden age will, in all likelihood, not extend for the whole 26,000 years. Not hardly. Ah, what to say. It's become pointless to say anything about the world, unless you want to talk about face-eating zombies or children floating in canals in redundant circumstances, eerily like the same event from a decade or more before. And I could add endless copy about what we already know as the height of ridiculous absurdity. Definable monsters cavort upon the stage of the world in positions of importance, and nothing seems to faze them. They go on and on like an incredibly perverted Energizer bunny, a stone to the gills, the ears actually, on bath salts and synthetic chemicals, whipped up in laboratories where no doubt years previous George W. Bush was conceived in a Petri dish out of the morning after effluvia and efflorescence of a homeless wino, newly awakened under a bridge abutment somewhere on the broken highway of a dying empire. Now, how, you might ask, do I segue from here into the spiritual headspace where I like to wind up? Usually a little further on from where we are right now, but I'm suspecting I'll get there, and let's stick to tradition and spend a little more time in the exploding hog lagoons of the contemporary hour. Rats on a stick, anyone? They're the new corn dogs of our fast food culture. Now, some of you are thinking, come on, Visible, it's not like that. Of course it is, and you know it too. We just don't want to acknowledge the state of things we can't do anything about, but there's one thing we can do something about, and that is ourselves. That affects our position in the environment and the state of cause and effect we operate in. That amounts to everything we encounter in every day. I've given the example of meditation. When a person makes meditation the opening act of their day, their day surfs off on the level of the meditation, and whatever one encounters is greeted and experienced at that level. When one does not do this, and one definitely notices what I'm talking about if they've been meditating and for some reason happen to miss it, everything changes and you discover the different wave possibilities of the ocean we swim in. The currents are affected. The traffic on the waters is affected. One's position in respect to the traffic and one's capacity for the attention given to it is affected. You can compare it, relatively speaking, to the difference in circumstances between being drunk and not being drunk. It's the difference between what we say and don't say under similar differentials. It's the difference between how one drives under the different influences, what comes into the mind in terms of behavior, and so on. There are a whole lot of people who are in prison today who cannot remember the actions that got them there in the first place. I met some of those very people in that very place who told me that very thing. I knew a fellow who was doing 25 years for kidnapping a woman and driving off with her in his car and then threatening the police with a handgun when they stopped him. I can't remember if he got shot or not. He was a nice guy, but many strange demons sleep with the spirits in the green and amber bottles. There's no telling which particular entity finds its most loathsome expression in any given personality. I think some of the tales I've heard, and thank God for the grace that has attended my erratic dance through the thick woods and underbrush of this tangled darkness of the world as we know and do not know it, depending on who we are and who we think we are, what we know and what we don't know. I guess I got lost there for a minute. I've often wondered about the dangers I've skirted and the meals served to the tables of my enemies. I can say my cup runneth over and that I have no idea why that should be. Some things continue to accompany me that perplex me no end. Some of them are dormant, but occasionally make noises from the periphery. Maybe nothing goes away, it just goes into suspension like some kind of cosmic jello. I remember reading the book The Way to the Kingdom, which I have read many times, and there's a section there where a particular soul is led into a hall. Along to one side is a row of bodies standing immobile. At the other end, the bodies are indistinguishable from one another and even unidentifiable. Now, as he moves to the end, the other end, each form becomes more identifiable until the last one, and it becomes clear that each of them represent former personalities of the soul in its progress to that moment. I remember the discussion that took place concerning the last personality standing. I imagine he was talking to his guide, a teacher, or an angel, and, well, it's been a while since I read it, but the gist of it is there. Where we are in this moment is a stage in our journey. We are sailing in a particular boat, the vehicle of personality bearing us through the times as it plies to. I often wonder if our world is personally defined by the personality and is awesomely transformed the moment the personality transforms into something other than what it was. And that is what these times are about. They're about whether we change or do not change, and the conditions are such that the options are many and limited only by the imagination and the willingness of the one involved. Transition is taking place as I'm speaking these words. For some, there's no change and no awareness. For some, it's dramatic indeed. Both are on the same planet. Both are subject to the same forces. The entity has chosen the influence of one kingdom over the other. The results are diametrically different. On the one hand, the worst possible outcome is the one most celebrated and attractive. The other one is shunned and laughed at. And that has always been the case, and that is why God picks fools, the mad, and idiots, as far as the world is concerned, to represent him or her. In today's world of degenerate material culture, the measure of success is the degree to which one can shamelessly pollute themselves and gain entertainment from the misfortune of others. The main impetus is to demean others and seek to cut the ground out from under them while flashing that false smile that implies, "Yeah, I hear what you're saying, bro." Then they stick out their fists for what they call a pound and say, "Can you feel me, bro? Give me some love." And they close out the embarrassment with a peace out or something like it. It's whatever the lingo and bling and crap of the moment is. It's whatever the dance moves are. It's whatever the flash is. It's the definition of clue when you don't have one, and any departure from the catchy, so-individualized redundancies, any departure from the Hawaiian calligraphy tattooed like some kind of open-for-business sign above one's posterior, any departure from the latest hairdo that looks like a rat took a dump in your hair and then you use crazy glue for a mousse, any departure from the accoutrements of the insider that brands you as an outsider is an undesirable type of status that implies no status. It tends to indicate that you don't know how to order one of those lasciviously named drinks that are so ubiquitous as those all-inclusive Club Med clones, those places you just have to go after you became too old for the Fort Lauderdale spring break. And that doesn't happen until you're already 2 years old. Ten years old. Too old for that. Later on, when you get really hip, you find you become some kind of a professional in a suit who attends art openings and enjoys the white wine and cheese and the engrossing conversations about what the artist was trying to say, even though the artist had nothing to say and whose claim to fame is precisely that. It could be that I'm waxing cynical here, and that would be sad were it not so painfully true. Of course, worse than this is true, much worse, and we won't be going into that because if it's not obvious, then all of the discussion concerning these things is not important unless I too am entranced with the white wine and the cheese and the powerful statement being made by the artist. Moving right along towards something, we pause for a brief moment for the item to present itself, and then we'll ride that for a while as the minutes count down to one more week in the tank. We say tank in a positive and affectionate manner, something like a sensory deprivation tank, but not insensitive. Dolphins swim in that tank, and a small boy is riding on them. He's the spirit of the origin in search of itself, the innocence in return across the ocean of the unlearned. Life is In its real expression is wonder opening into wonder. It's a mysterious valley of speechless immortality. It's what we really are in the process of being what we are not because of the wine and the cheese and the travesties passing as art. It's a hope for redemption out of the landfill of deodorants and disco. It's the capacity to walk naked out of the fashion show and have no one see you go. It's the ultimate disappearing act when you're allowed to go and no one can take your hand and grab your elbow in a avuncular way and ask you how things are going at the office. They tell you you have to be responsible, and they certainly are. They tell you you have to be confident, and they certainly are. They tell you you have to be pragmatic and realistic, and they certainly are, according to what passes for reality and which has led us where we are. So it's as real as the situation it wound up as. It's living proof that we get the leaders we deserve. It's contact and quality of music and literature and a testimony to the judgment of those who put it in front of us, to the exception of whatever else there might have been to put in front of us, but which we're not permitted to see. It's like the food on the store shelves and the diets of our contemporaries that have made Smithfield one of the world's most successful corporations. It's what made the pharmaceutical industry as powerful as it is. It's what it is except when it's not. It's what it is in the general and common, and what it is not in the exception that might prove the rule if there are enough people around who are aware of exceptions and capable of even a momentary detachment from the rule, from the dictatorship of ignorance and appetite who are enthroned upon the world. Well, surely we can talk about something else. I see where this is heading, and if I stay on this route, it leads to the Slough of Despond, to the fish swimming upside down on Golden Pond. It leads to Mobile, Alabama, and the door of some megachurch. It leads to soccer moms attending gay marriages and an educational system that makes the one in Khmer Rouge, Cambodia, look like a liberal arts curriculum. It's beyond brainwashing because you can't get that kind of a mind clean, and I'm still doing it. Stop! Halt! Now, where wasn't I? A dog acts according to his nature, unless his nature has been conditioned to prevail over all instinct in some way and to some degree. Sometimes that makes for a very happy dog, and sometimes it does not. Human being acts according to his nature, unless his nature has been conditioned to prevail over the usual impulses, and that can make for a happy person, and sometimes it does not. In times of material darkness, when the power of the world prevails over the spiritual nation, it's a time of death wishes in action that seem like a celebration of life and is accompanied by the applause of one's peers who are in the same train. It's the last weekend after that bottle of Jägermeister when we ought to know better than to drink anything green. It's a world where nothing is what it seems, and that is not the good news. It's things when things have gotten so out of hand that they can't be caught again. They rise into the uncertain sky like a hot air balloon at the mercy of the wind and the telephone lines and the whimsy of the atmosphere when there is no atmosphere, just neon lights advertising lap dances and other things. Now, I've studied the matter. I don't get lap dances. I don't get topless dancers in places where the vibrations cut you like a knife. I don't get perfume or earrings or ponytails on bald heads. I don't get toupees or Donald Trump's hair. It's especially disconcerting on Krishnamurti's head. When I used to do my TV shows, which is about to start again in 2 weeks on Vimeo or someplace, the show that followed me was about Krishnamurti. The man who put it on would play half-an-hour clips of Krishnamurti speaking. I hadn't heard Krishnamurti before, though I knew who he was and had read some of his work. I was aware of his presentation of the Theosophical Society by Annie Besant and others, and as a result of this, I would sometimes watch small portions of it, and I came to wonder at the condition of his hair. Something didn't look right, and I realized he had an elaborate comb over, and this bothered and perplexed me to the point where I had to ask the fellow presenting the show what the story was, and he said, "Oh, that's because of his disciples. They insisted upon it." Now, knowing what I know about Krishnamurti and his persona, this did not ring true, but I said no more about it except to say that I found it strange. This fellow was a nice, sincere fellow, if a bit ponderous and dull, and he reminded me of the sort of person who could read Rudolf Steiner without falling asleep. Now, I don't mean to knock Krishnamurti. We just didn't have any business together. I don't mean to knock Rudolf Steiner. Over here, the Anthroposophic Society is very big and very, very rich. It's somewhat mysterious. They're all over the place. I know Steiner had some fantastic ideas. He came up with the Montessori school concept, among other things, but when I try to read him, I can't do it for more than 10 minutes before I fall asleep. Now, this is not meant to be a judgment on him. He's had a profound and lasting influence on the world, and I don't see anything negative of what little I've seen. It's just that most things and most people are not germane to what I am or what I do. You say things like that, and some people think you're closed off or have some elitist concept about yourself, but this is just an honest assessment of where I am and maybe something I should keep to myself. But this is what I do, and it brings the good and the bad in terms of all the external takes. People are always telling me about this person or that person, or I should read this or that, but I don't get anything from anything outside anymore. The only thing relevant to me is what I hear inside, and everything I encounter is measured against it and defined by it. It informs and entertains me through the course of each day and follows me into my dreams at night. It's all there. It's all there is for me or ever will be, and I'm only on the periphery of it. But Like that great ship I talk about that pulls all closely surrounding forms into the sea after it. This also has a gravitational pull once you are in its orbit, and one cannot escape it, and especially if one has no desire or inclination to. Well, I've really gone on rather rapid and fast here. I don't know what to say. It's just how it is tonight. I hope this has not been too unpleasant or with too much of the appearance of excessive self-involvement. I never know what I'm going to say until I say it, and I have to go with that and hope that it proves more useful than simply time-consuming, in which case, grin. It's only 15 minutes, although it does seem longer, doesn't it? Grin again. Ah, what to say. Well, I've certainly said plenty, and hopefully it's not incoherent, and your mind can move rapidly enough to stay up with it, and I hope that wasn't an insult. Anyway, time for me to say, I'll see you next week if there is one. And in the meantime, may you be caught in that same undertow, that same current, and dragged to the bottom of God's all-forgiven sea. That said, aloha, Jesus Christ. Om Amitabha. Hare Krishna. Aloha. No, wait a minute. Aloha. Hail, Lord Ganesh. Aloha, Nui Loa. And then, Aru. See it on the road, up the road.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.